Welcome back, everyone. We're back with the next episode of Braves Dugout Podcast. Today, I'm really excited to say that I have David Hayes back on the show again this year. As you know, David Hayes is the producer and host at the Afternoon Underdogs at ESPN Northwest Florida. Good friend of mine. He always has great takes. I go on the show with him a lot. It's always fun. He's normally the one interviewing me, so it's always fun to be able to interview him and get him on the show and get his thoughts. So this is a really fun interview. Talk a lot about the Braves, predictions mostly, which is what I like to do early in the season, and so does David. So let's get into it. David, thanks so much for joining the show again. It's always a blast to have you on. How's things going over there at ESPN Northwest Florida?
Oh, bless, man. It's a pleasure to be able to talk sports with a community that I love, like Panama City. And, you know, diving a little bit more into the local sports. Like today we had Peyton Gay on, quarterback from Bozeman. He's going to be headed to Texas A&M as a preferred walk-on. So I think, honestly, the more that I dive into local sports in a position that I didn't think I could love anymore, I find new ways every day to fall in love with it.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad you said that because it made me think of how you are the one that told me that Bryson Horn was graduated from Bluntstown. And because of you telling me that, I was able to get in contact with him and have him on the show. And it just so happens that he just hit a home run for the Braves in spring training a few days ago. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it's funny that you bring that up because I was reading one of your, I can't say that it was one of your articles. It might've been just a Twitter post that you had, and you were talking about Bryson Horn being from Bluntstown. I'm like, oh man, that is so neat. And maybe I just put too much information into the old noggin because you're telling me that I put that onto your mind, and you're reminding me that it was once in my mind as well.
Yeah. I mean, you do talk about sports every single day, pretty much. You are kind of the voice of sports in Northwest Florida. So you talk about a lot of people.
I try to be. That's a very strong compliment, and I appreciate you, Sam. But yeah, it's a lot, but it's also something very thankful to do. And man, don't we have a lot of talent in this area? It just seems like we're getting more and more players, more athletes to the next level. I mean, i.e. Shakira Edwards over there at Rutherford, she's going to be headed to Mississippi State. And for me, just, you know, Division I, Division II, NAIA, Division III, if you're taking that next step in the world of athletics, that's very impressive.
Yes. In fact, I just had a conversation with a coworker. He's from California. And so he was telling me about how Robin Ventura's from his town, and Joe Madden, John Madden. Wow. John Madden coached at the community college where he's from. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. But it reminded me how, you know, we in our local area have had more and more and more people emerging over the past, you know, short period of time, like Matt, last 15 years or so. And it's been really cool to see it happen.
Yeah, that circle of life. I mean, there's so many players right now, just like can't even think of all of them off the top of my head. Go over to the Braves rivals. I mean, it's awesome. First off, have you released the episode yet with Bryson Horn?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, that's the first thing on my to-do list after I leave here is going to be listening to that podcast, because I think that's super awesome that you were able to get him on. But, you know, go over to the Braves rivalry with a rival with the Philadelphia Phillies and Nick Nelson coming out of Rutherford. Just so many players. It's hard to, I don't want to say that it's hard to keep track of them, because, you know, that's just kind of a cop out to laziness to an extent on my part, you know. But yeah, this it's really awesome, this area that we live in, and especially in the sport that you and I love so much, the sport of baseball. The fact that we can, I don't want to say ride their coattails because it's not necessarily that, but just when we're watching and when we're doing any sort of covering, and you cover the full gamut of baseball, a lot of people just kind of put you into that lane of the Braves. But if they keep up with you, if they listen to the afternoon underdogs every now and again, but if they read your content, then they know. You're a baseball fan through and through.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I've said it to you many a times, but and you're the same way. MLB fan first, Braves fan second. If you true like I just love the sport of baseball, and the Braves just happen to be my team. But any you talk about Major League Baseball to me, I'm gonna talk with you. I could talk to you for hours. You just pick a random team, I'm all about it. So like for example, I have a coworker that's a White Sox fan. I love talking to him about the White Sox, and and it's fun because you start learning more about more players that maybe you didn't know about or how they were doing and things like that. There's countless hours that could be spent talking about baseball.
How are his spirits looking at the preview of the 2024 Chicago White Sox?
I don't know the word to use. It's been sad for him, but really interesting to see the evolution because,
Yeah.
just a few years ago, the White Sox were a very promising team. So I got to see him. I've worked with him for years. So I got to see him like get super excited about the White Sox. The White Sox looked like they were following the Braves model and they were getting better and better and better, signing players to extensions when they were young. And, Luis Robert has panned out, but the rest of them really haven't. And now they've gotten to the point where they've had to sell off. They haven't done well with Dylan Cease. Their ownership is doing them a disservice, and it's really sad to see because
Yeah,
they
you
never
hate to.
really they got into a competitive window for a very short time and didn't capitalize on it, and they're gonna have to rebuild again.
And you hate to see that with a franchise like the Chicago White Sox. Might be an unpopular opinion here on my behalf, but I think that they've, I don't want to say some of the best uniforms in baseball, but for some reason, their uniforms in my eyes, I'm attracted to them. And maybe it's just because they're as basic as all get out, but yeah, and didn't work out with Tim Anderson. The pitching staff just didn't play out the way that maybe we would have we would have liked to see as baseball fans. But yeah, it's got to be a tough go up there to be not the Chicago Cubs.
Right. They seem to be the underdog, and they always have a lot of really fun players on the team. It just hasn't worked out.
Yep.
So we seem to have had good luck whenever you come on the show early in the season. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get you on so early is that we always, give predictions on how many wins we think the Braves are going to have. And 1 or 2 years, I got it right on the nose when I was talking to you. So I'm trying to keep the streak going here. So let's talk about that for the Braves a little bit. Where's your head at? How many wins do you think the Braves are going to have this year?
Man, this one is so tough because you would like to automatically think, coming off of last year, not much has changed. There's not a lot of negativity. There's not a lot of losses on the roster, right? And there's a few additions, and you gotta love any time that Alex Anthopoulos is your general manager. You gotta feel well about the moves that he makes. Chris Sale being the addition there, what we've seen of him early in spring training has been lights out. So you gotta like that. To me, it really comes down to the health of that pitching staff. Max Fried, is he gonna stay healthy? Will he be the ace? And then also Spencer Strider. I mean, the addition of the curveball, how's that gonna work out? I think that what's one of the more popular predictions, record predictions for the Atlanta Braves, I think is 106 or so. For me, I'm gonna go with an even number in the loss and the win department. I'm gonna go over 100 wins, and I'm gonna have them at 102-60. But I want to preface that because I've already talked about it. I would like to add the caveat that I really hope that it is a more of a slow start for the Braves this year and a hot finish. We just seem to do a little bit better. Well, we had that 2 years ago, though, didn't we? We had the slow start and then the hot finish, catching up to the Mets.
Right.
But That's the thing is in the playoffs, we're seeing all of the hot teams. I don't know if it has to do with the bye or not, but we're seeing the hot teams make it further, the hot teams at the tail end of the year. So for me, I'm going to sit there at 102-60, and I still think that the Atlanta Braves are going to be the class of the National League East.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And more to your point about the roster construction, really their main rival this year is obviously going to be the Phillies. Now with the schedule the way that it is, the schedule is more even across the league. So the Braves will not be playing their rivals as much as they used to. But if you look at the Phillies, really all that they did was just kept the players they already had. You know, Bryce Harper being healthy would be a huge boon for them because, you know, he was hurt early on in the year. But that being said, the Phillies haven't gotten that much better. So their main competition is pretty much the same team, while the Braves' biggest issue was depth, and they filled some of it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to say, since you did 102, I was debating between 102 and 104. So since you said 102, I'm going to go with 104. Not to one up, just because those are my two options, and you picked the other one. So I was going back and forth between those two. Fangraphs has much lower, I believe, currently right now sitting at either 96 or 98 last time I checked. Okay. But they're all pretty conservative on win totals.
Yeah, I mean, yes, that's another factor there. I want to go back real quick to the schedule. Is that something that you believe benefits the Braves playing all 30 or all other 29 teams in Major League Baseball? Do you think that's a benefit for the Braves, or is it something that is not as much of an advantage as I see it?
I think it can be twofold here. I think really it gives us a better idea of how good the team actually is, which is a benefit to the front office because they're seeing more teams, they get a better idea of how good or bad the team is. And so they can address those needs that they have. If a team continues to play the same teams over and over, they might just match up well against those teams and not match against as well against others. For example, the Brewers a few years ago, they had more wins than the Braves when the Braves went to the playoffs, with the Braves match up against the Brewers very well. The Braves were a much better team than the Brewers were, even though the Brewers had more wins. But that was back when, before the schedules had been updated, and you're playing your rivals way more. And the National League Central was a very weak division, whereas the National League East was very strong. Now that the schedule spread out, you kind of get a better picture of what your team actually looks like. The downside of that is every other team has that advantage too now. Mm-hmm. And as far as spreading it out, it also, I do think, helps the Braves a little bit more, because even though the Mets are kind of down, the Nationals are getting better. The Marlins are always pesky. The National League East is still the strong, in my opinion, the strongest division in the National League. The Giants got a little bit better. The Padres got worse. The Dodgers got a little bit better, but really, the National League West is a two-team race between, in my opinion, the Giants and the Dodgers, whereas the Mets, with the way that the roster is constructed, could sneak into the playoffs. I just think the National League East is still the strongest division, so if they have to play that division less than they would have 3 years ago, that is an advantage to them.
Oh, I like that Giants and Dodgers in the National League West, so the Diamondbacks expected to kind of fall off this year?
Yes, the Diamondbacks were extremely lucky last year. And I don't mean that as like a slight to them. Right. They performed like crazy in the playoffs, and you can never take that away from them. I loved every second of it. But I will say that if you look at like the underlying metrics, they got really lucky in one-run games. And their rotation, for whatever reason, I mean, they just have, if you look at the Pythagorean theorem of like their expected wins versus the amount of wins they got, they did get really lucky. And that's not to take anything away from them. What I'm saying is you can't really expect that to happen again. The odds of that happening again are slim. And I honestly, even though I would love it to see the Diamondbacks go against the Dodgers again, I do think the Giants, with the way that they've structured their roster, have a better chance. Now, that is a fair point, though. So the National League West is stronger than it was 2 years ago, okay? Because, you know, back then it was just the Giants and the Dodgers, and the Padres got a little bit better. It'll be that is an interesting division to watch, but we can both agree for sure that the National League Central is not the strongest.
Oh, I agree with you 100% that the National League East is the strongest division in the National League, and it's hard to put anything over the American League East. But no, I was just kind of curious about the Diamondbacks because I was having that same thought earlier today with is it going to be the Dodgers and the Giants, or is it going to be more of a three-team race between the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and the Giants? And then with the addition of Matt Chapman, I think that that helps out the Giants. And I like your take. I mean, it's not even a take though. You've got analytics to back it up and the stats to back it up that the Diamondbacks were just a lucky team last year.
Yes, yeah, they were. And I think the Giants also, they have a tendency to take pitchers and get the best out of them. And so I think that the way that their roster is constructed, even if on paper their rotation isn't as good as maybe the Diamondbacks is, I think that they're going to get more out of their pitchers. I just, based on the Diamondbacks getting lucky, based on them really only having one star rotation guy. And if you look at their offense, I mean, they've got Corbin Carroll, who will be a perennial MVP candidate for years to come. But I mean, that doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. The Angels had Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout on the same roster and, couldn't win a playoff game. So it is going to be interesting to see.
That just goes to show you, like, the sport of baseball, the beauty of baseball. You can have the top two, and I don't think you would get any argument from anyone if you said Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout were the two best players in baseball. And what do you have to show for after, what, 4 years together?
Right. And maybe four or five, I'd have to pull it
Yeah.
up. But yeah, it's, and that's why, I always jump to the one, I guess my one pet peeve in sports. And it's probably mostly because it's people that were basketball or NBA fans first that have come over to NBA or NFL is when they start comparing players' personal achievements. And then they say, like, well, this player has more championships. I'm like, well, no. Their team has more championships. It's not, that is a team accomplishment. You could take that same player and put him on the Kansas City Royals, the 2023 Kansas City Royals. They are not going to win a World Series. You could have taken Shohei Ohtani, full strength, put him on the Royals. They probably wouldn't even made the playoffs in the weakest division in Major League Baseball. So,
Ooh.
you know what I'm saying? So like,
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's the beauty of baseball, man. That is just what makes it football, obviously a huge team sport when you have as many guys as that on the roster. But with baseball, yes, you got what, 25, 26 guys in the clubhouse, but you're also talking about two different facets. I mean, much like in the NFL, where you're talking about offense and defensive players, and then you
yeah,
can
good
add
point.
into the mix there the special teams. But yeah, I mean, with baseball, you got to have the pitching staff and three facets there as well, right? Because you've got your starting rotation, then you've got the bullpen, and then your offense, and those guys got to play some defense as well. So I just, man, I love this game of chess on a diamond.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm conflicted because I'm pro player, so like I get bringing in two DHs, but man, I also miss the chess match of pitchers having to hit, not necessarily pitchers hitting, but having to figure out, okay, who am I going to put in as a pinch hitter? When am I going to take the pitcher out and all that? I miss that. I don't necessarily think it was better for the game, but I do miss the chess match of that.
I'm right there with you, and I think that it bode well for a guy like Snit, for a manager like Brian Snitker, because more old school in his ways, and I do miss that element of it. I'm not as big on oh, I can't believe we've got a designated hitter in the National League anymore, as much as I was at the beginning. But yeah, there is that element, especially like maybe if they just well. I was going to say maybe if they just brought it back for the playoffs, but if you're going to play 162 games one way, you should stick with that throughout the duration of the playoffs. So, yeah, I miss that element of it. But if the fans, going back to the schedule real quick, the fact that the fans can now that you don't got to wait forever to see certain players, you're going to get to see them within 2 years for sure, as long as they're healthy. And same way with the designated hitter. If it's going to be good for the fans of the game and if it's going to grow the game, then I'm aligned with that 100%.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I totally agree with you. So let's see here. We were talking about Shohei Ohtani and moving to different teams. So let's get some more predictions from you. So looking at the MVP, do you think Ronald Acuna, if he stays healthy, will win it again? Because we haven't seen a repeat MVP since 2013 when Miguel Cabrera in the American League went back-to-back in 2012 and 2013. And then in the National League, we haven't seen a repeat since Albert Pujols did it in 2008 and 2009. So it hasn't happened in a long time. Ohtani is in the National League now. So what's your take?
So obviously Shohei can't do it because he's in the National League now. And I just think you're taking such a big element that was, I would say, one of the major factors in why Shohei Ohtani was able to win the MVP. I mean, when you got a guy pitching and hitting the way that he does, he's obviously going to draw a lot of eyes to himself. But I think that what Ronald Acuna does as a five-tool player is, if he stays healthy, I don't think that we need to see him swipe 70 bags. I think if he's in, you know, above, if he's in the 40-40 club again, wouldn't he be the only player if he's in the 40-40 club? And again, the rules are a little bit more slided to make it easier for players to steal bases. But if he were to hit the 40-40 club again, wouldn't he be the only player to do that twice?
Ooh, I think you're right. I think Barry Bonds has done it twice.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense if Barry did it. But for me, so you got Mookie over there. And you've got Freddie Freeman over there with the Dodgers, but those guys kind of like, Matt Olson too, Matt Olson, Ronald Acuna, Mookie and Freddie, those guys kind of eat into themselves a little bit, but with the addition that for me is what stands out is the stolen bases by Ronald Acuna. And if he can make some big time plays in the outfield this year, if he can, I don't even know if it's if it's possible, but for him to gain a couple of web gems this year, I just don't know how you can go against Ronald Acuna Jr. In fact, on the Inside Drive today, they had Gordon Blakely on, who was a scout for the Atlanta Braves. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but he said when he was discovering Ronnie, he said he had the strongest hands that of any player. And this is the guy who found A-Rod. This is the guy who found Jason Veritek. He had the strongest hands of all of those players. And when you've got strong hands, when you've got a bat the way that he does, when you've got the glove that he does, when you've got the arm that he does out of right field, you add in the stolen bases. And then here's the other thing that I don't know if I'm making this up in my head, but it seems like each year he hustles more.
Well, yeah, and definitely, you know, for last year, since the year before, because he had injured himself. And so in 2022, he wasn't hustling as hard, but that was good because that resulted in an MVP season the following year.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it's hard for me, and maybe there's a lot of Braves bias in it, but I don't think many people would disagree with you if you said, I think it's going to be Ronald Acuna who wins the MVP again this year. But that's also the beauty of baseball. It's a 162-game marathon.
Yes, for sure. And some things he has going for him is that he was a unanimous winner last year. So it wasn't like some of these times where, you know, there's guys that split first and second and third place votes and just edge into the first place spot. I mean, he was unanimous. So it's easy to say that he's the favorite. There's a reason also, too, why he's number one in fantasy baseball drafts. A lot of times fantasy baseball drafts don't exactly say how valuable a player is because they wouldn't be factoring in things like Ronald Acuna has the strongest arm in the outfield. But it's still kind of fun to see, you know, the unanimous MVP at the number one slot. He's obviously has eyes on him among all different voters and things like that. So I think he's got a lot going for him this year. I think he definitely is the favorite.
Yeah. And my outlier will be, and I hope that this doesn't come to fruition, but Bryce Harper out of the Phillies, not having to deal with the elbow surgery this year or the rehab of the elbow surgery. So I would definitely keep an eye on Bryce Harper.
Yeah, you can't discount Bryce Harper. I mean, It's weird to say. Ever since he became a player on the Phillies, somehow he's become underrated among fans outside of Philadelphia. It's the
What he
I don't get it. He's an elite talent.
We were talking a little bit about that today, and I was curious as to maybe is that because there's just so many. I mean, the MLB right now is studded, it is star-studded with young talent across the board, and so you're each year you're getting these guys, and maybe it's the collecting of baseball cards because guys are knowing who guys are 3 to 4 years before they even make it to Triple A, and just kind of keeping their eyes on them. So maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it's just because he can kind of go under the radar there in Philly. I don't know, but you're right. He has somehow become underrated as one of the biggest stars. Like LeBron James has never entered that territory being underrated. You know what I mean? And I
Right.
think that it's fair to say that Bryce Harper what had those same type of expectations as what LeBron James did.
Yes. And what's crazy is when he signed that 13-year contract, people were talking about how, they paid way too much for him. There's going to be a bad contract. And it's turning out to be one of the best contracts in baseball.
Yes, it is, man. And I would love to say anywhere but the Phillies, but at the end of the day, I just think that he is in a perfect place. Even if it's against a rival for the Braves, I think he's in a perfect place there. And I think it's a good thing for baseball as well.
Yes, it is. And it's good for Braves fans, honestly, even though they don't want to admit it, if they don't want to admit it, because he plays for the Phillies, so we're forced to pay attention to him more. So we're seeing this elite talent over and over and over. And honestly, I mean, as a baseball fan, you just love to see it.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, us not being in the Central, right? It gives us that those not just the team who's competitive. It's not like it's just the Marlins who are, fielding a decent roster and can be pesky, as you mentioned earlier. But this they've got some players over there. I mean, the addition of Trey Turner last year, they may not have done a lot this year, but where were they last year? All the way to the NLCS, so.
Yeah, they're a good team, and the I gotta say this kind of as a side note, the most pesky thing to me about the Phillies is that the Braves crush lefty pitching, but for whatever reason, Ranger Suarez
Yes.
has their number, and on paper, the Braves should be destroying that dude every time they face him, and they can't.
Oh, he is a thorn in the flesh for the Atlanta Braves. There's no doubt about that. And that's such a good point on the left-handed pitching because, as you mentioned, almost every time on the show with us last year, anytime there was a left-handed pitcher, you'd be licking your chops. We'd all be licking our chops after talking with you. And you're right, though. Every time, especially when the game is like the more that the game matters, the better Ranger Suarez does.
Yes, I know. It was yeah. So it's been fun asking you these questions, by the way, because normally it's the other way around. So thanks for
Yeah,
doing this.
absolutely, man. It's fun.
Yeah. So more on predictions. Do you have any teams that you're thinking may surprise some folks?
So for me, it's and maybe it's the Chicago Cubs. It's not maybe it's the Chicago Cubs. I was going to try to give a couple of reasons, but the main reason for me is what Craig Counsell, the new manager over there, was able to do with the Brewers, who didn't really spend a lot of money, and that might be the biggest offseason acquisition for the Cubs. But I love that. I love bringing in Craig Counsell, and then they bring Belly back. Dansby Swanson. For me, I think it's the Cubs are going to be a team who maybe here in the first half we're not thinking too much, and maybe people have are already having them on their radar, and they'll have that slow start, so people will kind of forget about them. But then after that All-Star break, they start heating up. So for me, I think a team to keep an eye on in a very winnable division, as we talked about earlier, the Chicago Cubs are a team that I think could really make some waves here. Not a deep run. I'm not seeing a deep run, but a team that can win the division and possibly make it to the divisional round.
That's a good one. I like it because a lot of people's eyes are going to be on the Cardinals, with the additions that they had. But Sonny Gray is already hurt. And there was times last year when the Cubs went on some extremely hot streaks. So they bring in Craig Counsell that can kind of harness that energy. I would not be shocked if they won their division.
I like it. That means the prediction kind of makes a little bit of sense on my behalf. So I'll take it. Thank you, Sam.
Absolutely. So let's talk about you a little bit.
All right.
So tell me, how did you become a fan of baseball or Major League Baseball, and how did you become a fan of the Braves?
So I guess those answers are somewhat synonymous, just being that all sports, really. The only team that I don't identify the same with as my dad would be the Indiana Pacers. And I don't have like the greatest reasoning in the world for being a fan of the Pacers, but I that's, man, I think I was 2, 3 years old when my dad would set us up a tee and just go to hitting balls in the house at that point in time, and then move to the yard. So, and he would always tell me as I was growing up that when I was 5 or 6, I could name off the starting lineup for the Braves and what their batting averages were, which, I think there's got to be a little bit of facetiousness to that, because how would a young kid keep up with batting averages on that, something that changes game after game? But maybe I was in the ballpark there, so that's all I know growing up was the Atlanta Braves. Mark Wohlers was my favorite. It was just all Braves. And then moving to Tampa, we lived a few minutes from the Trop there, and actually we were a bike ride away from it. And sometimes we'd ride our bikes down there. You could get into the beach, which was the bleachers on the left-hand side, and it would be $3 for tickets. And then one of the really cool things was when we moved down there, Fred McGriff, who was an Atlanta Brave, became a member of the Tampa Bay Rays. So just, man, playing the game, watching the game, I just the more that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I've loved baseball like this my whole entire life. And there really hasn't been any slowing down of it. So watching the games with my dad would be the answer of how I became a Braves fan and a baseball fan in general. I would say that where I learned to love baseball through and through, like where it wasn't just Braves, was moving down there to Tampa and being able to go to some of those games there and having Hall of Famers like Wade Boggs, being able to watch them. So that was really unique, living down there. And it was almost like baseball was at the time, and I can't say this for certain because maybe it's just the recency bias in that time, meaning wherever I was at, I felt like it was bigger. But it just seemed like baseball was a little bit bigger there in St. Pete. And also some really cool things was what does happen down there in South Florida, spring training. Well, we knew the head baseball coach for the Hillsborough Community College team. And so he would get us to come to some of these spring training games, and we would be leaving with milk crates of double A and triple A baseballs. So that was, being able to, I think, yeah, no, I met Jorge Posada one time, shook his hand, didn't understand anything that he said to me. It wasn't a very long conversation, but yeah, so that was really cool just being there in the area. And some of the times when we'd have Little League baseball practice, it would be, I can't remember the name of it, but where the Rays originally started their practice sessions. It used to be their old spring training field. So, man, baseball was a huge part of my life in St. Pete and here in Panama City as well. So I remember playing T-ball at 4 years old. But yes, Atlanta Braves, they will always be the number one in my heart team. But like you, it's baseball first and then the Atlanta Braves.
Man, that was an awesome story. That was really cool hearing all that. I did not know all that. I think I do remember you talking about riding your bike though. So that's
Yeah.
pretty cool that you got to do
We wasn't supposed to, but boys are going to be
that.
boys, right?
That's right. Right, everyone. Thanks for coming back from the break. Still got some time left with David. David, thanks for staying along with us. It's been really fun.
Oh man, this is a blast, dude. I enjoy your podcast, and I really, I'm very appreciative of you thinking about me And I like the fact that you have me here in the early spot because it's been conducive to our record predictions.
I agree. It's been fun. I'm trying not to get a big head about it, but our predictions have been pretty darn close the past few years.
I'm really hoping for the 104 and 58, my man.
Yeah, I don't care what their win total is if they win a World Series, though, for being on.
Absolutely. He can go
No.
88.
Yeah, I mean, I care actually. I'd love to say that I got the win total right, beat David on his prediction, and then the Braves also win a World Series. That would be ideal.
I mean, that's got to be the most impressive of all record predictions, right? When it comes down to just win-loss records from a regular season, I think baseball, if you get that spot on, or if you're within, I think a four-game swing, that is just Nostradamus-like.
If I get it right again this year, I might become a betting man.
Yeah, there you go. Or if nothing else, you can become an odds maker, and that way you don't got to make the bets, and you can just or become a betting man and make that wallet grow.
Or yeah, I can just start doing the what is it? You can do subscriptions on Twitter, and then all my subscribers that pay will get my predictions. And then as soon as they start paying me, I start getting them wrong some magical way.
That's how things normally tend to work out, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, people should already be subscribing to you just based off on the wealth of knowledge that it is that you give to us, especially as Braves fans. But again, I will exclaim and proclaim baseball in general.
I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. To be honest with you, if Major League Baseball reached out to me and said, "Hey, would you like to write for, be a beat writer for us for the Detroit Tigers?" I wouldn't have to thoughts about it. Of course I would, I just love talking about baseball. So
And you're kind of high on the Tigers this year, too.
I am. I really like the young core they have. Although I was really had higher hopes for Casey Mize, pitcher coming out of Auburn a few years ago, their top pick. If he would have panned out, or if he would have gotten, a number one pick status, it would have been a really good spot.
Yeah.
So back to how you started liking the Braves and stuff. Do you have any particular, like, you obviously have a ton of memories from the amount of times you got to go watch games, riding your bikes over there, buying tickets for $3, which inflation now would probably be like $12, but still. But do you have a memory that kind of sticks out to you as like a favorite memory of the Braves?
Oh, the Braves. So I have
Or
to be
any
at a
team,
game for
really.
the Atlanta Braves.
And no, anything, man.
You know what? One of the cool memories of the Atlanta Braves. So I'll give a couple of them. And it really just has to do with the people that I was with watching the games. In fact, actually, one of the cool memories was running into you at a Braves game.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, so for the first time in a very long time, me and the four of my brothers and my dad, and some of our significant others, went with us to the Braves and the Marlins game. And man, just being all out there in the outfield together, being there at Truist Park, which is one of the I can't say I've been to a ton of major league parks, but to me, walking around the concourse in general, there's just not a bad seat in the house. So I think, being together with my four brothers and my dad, that's a memory that, and just kind of the walk out of the stadium, the Braves had won that game. There was fireworks, and then after the fireworks, we're sitting there and walking through the drum line and then taking pictures at some of the statues and whatnot. So that is one of the coolest memories. And then the second one was the first time that I ever went to back-to-back games. And we went and saw the Brewers, and then it was the Cardinals. It might have been in reverse order, and then sitting in two different areas of the ballpark. And that's kind of been one of my favorite things about Truist in general, which I've been to all three. I don't really have any good recollection of the game we went to at Fulton County Stadium. Don't have a great recollection of my time at Turner Field, but at Truist, one of my favorite things is sitting in different areas of the park because, like I just mentioned, I just haven't found a bad seat in the house. But being able to go to back-to-back games but seeing different teams was a lot of fun. And then as far as on the field goes, it would be a time, I think, you know what, going to Freddie Freeman's return. going to Freddie Freeman's return when he, you know, signed the deal with the Dodgers. And I was one of the more outspoken people of, you know, I think we should boo him. And there was a lot of fans there that were giving him the standing ovation. And don't get me wrong, I have no ill will towards Freddie Freeman at all. He made the decision that is best for his family. But as out of the fun of fandom, I was booing him. And I think it was a great game to be at. And Freddie Freeman, regardless of his him being a Dodger now, just a class act of an athlete. And you know that it meant a lot to him coming back to Atlanta. So while I was, and I was not booing whenever they were giving him the ring, I was clapping. But once he stepped into the batter's box as a Los Angeles Dodger, at that point, it was game on. So honestly, that memory stands out to me maybe more than as far as what happens on the field. That game was huge.
Yeah, you can be honest. The real reason you like that game so much is that's the game we ran into each other.
Oh, that was the game. There you go. Now the now the truth comes out. Now
yeah, no, no. I'm glad you said that about the when you booed and when you clapped, because that's true. That's what happened for most part. Is everyone cheered for him when he got his ring and, you know, gave him the standing ovation. But when it was game time, you know, we can boo now.
There's a lot of people in my section who kind of looked at me kind of crazy for booing. And I was just like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful. It's not like I'm out here cussing the man out or anything. I'm being respectful of all y'all's children and whatnot. But I've been saying this for weeks that I'm going to boo him, and I'm not just going to change because you gave me the stank eye.
Yeah. I mean, we already cheered him on. It's just a spirit. Right. It's all in fun.
Exactly, man. And I hope he continues to do well with the Dodgers. And it would be awesome if he could wrap his career up with the Atlanta Braves and we end up getting that number in the Braves Hall of Fame.
Yes, definitely. It will be interesting to see, too, because he definitely is on a Hall of Fame track. There's no doubt about it. I've ran the numbers. Mm-hmm. And even since I took a very long time to – I think it was like, man, I think it was like a freaking 6,000 word essay that I wrote on him a few years ago. He was on track back then, and he's only gotten better since then. So I'm very confident, barring a terrible injury, knock on wood, that he'll definitely be in the Hall of Fame. And it'll be interesting to see who he goes in. Not that it really matters, but if he goes in with the Dodger cap on or a Braves cap on, or if he pulls up Greg Maddux and just puts the MLB logo.
There you go. Which one do you think he would do?
I would have to imagine at he spent more time with the Braves than he will have spent with the Dodgers when his contract expires. So I would imagine it would probably be the Braves, especially considering that he came up through that organization. He won a World Series with them.
Yeah.
He was there. He was the main guy when they went through the rebuild. Like, he was the Braves, you know. So I would hope, but
he really was, though. I mean, he took the torch from Chipper, and the Braves winning that World Series in 2021. I know that you don't forget this, but I know a lot of the times a large amount of Braves fans forget that Ronald Acuña Jr. was injured during that World Series run. So without Freddie, man, I don't know if any of that happens.
Oh no, man, he took Josh Hader deep.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I definitely have memories of when the Braves were rebuilding. I'll be honest, I didn't watch the Braves like I should. I say should, but you know what I mean. Like, as much as I used to, because they were always losing. So it would be more like, let's see how Freddie Freeman did today.
Mm-hmm.
There was many days where I'm just like, all right, game's over. Let's see how Freddie Freeman did.
Yeah, what was it? 2017, maybe 2018, when they didn't have a great record. I don't even think that they made the playoffs, but there was a lot of times where they were trailing in the seventh or later, and then they started coming back in some of those games, or if nothing else, making the game interesting. And I think that's where we as Braves fans started to see the tables turn a little bit. And I think that's when I started reinvesting or investing again into the MLB subscription.
Yes, I definitely know exactly when I really started paying. You know, I've always paid a close attention to like MLB as a whole, but like when I started focusing back to the Braves, if that makes sense. Because none of us have bandwidth to watch every single MLB game. So I
No.
was just, paying attention to the stats, what was happening across the league as much as I could, because I never stopped paying attention to that. But when the Braves are bad, it's not like I'm going to sit down on my couch and watch every single Braves game. Let's just be honest, But
Exactly.
when it really started to change for me is when Brian Snicker came in, which is why, even though he makes some questionable decisions in the bullpen, I go to bat for him. Because when he came in, I'll never forget, when he came in, the Braves had the worst offense in Major League Baseball. Without making their team any better by adding people, they went from having the worst offense in the majors first half of the year. The second half of the year, they had the second best offense in the National League. The only thing that changed, Ryan Snicker.
There
So
you go,
I'm a
man. There's
big
the
believer.
answer.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in him. So, that's exactly when I really was like, oh, wow, Braves are getting good now. Like, they have a shot now. They're turning things around.
So our timelines coincide because that was what the 2016 season where he took over for Freddie and then full-time manager in 2017.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So it had to have been right around the exact same time.
That's awesome. Great minds think alike
Yeah,
or
definitely.
follow the Braves alike.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure, to be fair, a lot of the Braves fan base did the same thing, but it also has helped a lot too with the technology today. The
Yeah.
access to sports is better than it's ever been. And so, I don't have to go buy the book from the gas station with all the baseball stats in it. Now I can just Google, Baseball Reference and Fangraphs and all that. And then streaming came along. I don't know if you ever did this, man. I did. I was one of those guys that looked at the stats on the baseball cards, and then I found out, like, oh, they at the, when the year's over, you can buy a little encyclopedia with all the players and their stats. And then you'd go through the book and you get ticked off because you're like, this player isn't in this book. This book has 700 players in it, but my favorite player's not in the book.
No, I don't think I ever got a book. For me, the book would have been the Beckett book, telling me
Oh,
how
yeah.
much the cards were worth, and then I'd just look at them and be like, all right, well, you're going into the bicycle spokes then, brother.
Yep. Oh, man. So I could do a whole podcast on Beckett. But,
Oh, man.
dude, we just went to a baseball. I'm in Virginia right now. And on a whim, we just went to a baseball card shop. And it was one of the best baseball card shops I've ever seen. When I collect baseball cards, I have like a handful of people that I just collect them, and that's it. Because I've learned from some people, the best thing to do is to set parameters so that you're not wasting your money. You have specific things you go for that. So right now I'm collecting, there's a list of the top 100 Mark McGwire inserts of his playing times that are my favorite. So I've been searching for those. And they bought Mark McGwire collections from two different guys. And so they had an abundance of Mark McGwire. And it wasn't just like little dollar cards, they were like really nice Mark McGwire cards. And then my coworker collects Nolan Ryan, and they had all that stuff. It was crazy. But anyways,
That is a really cool story, man. That it really is, because what are the odds that the two guys that you got, that you and your friend or coworker friend, whatever, same thing, looking for, and they've got an abundance of those, man. The Lord's so good.
yeah, for sure. What's not so good is one of the cards that's on my it was number two on my list that he had. But I had not previously talked to my wife about spending $150. So I just told the guy, hey, I will buy this once I get my baseball card funds up, if you will hold it for me, and I will reach out to you and buy it from you. Because I can't do it tonight, but at least I found it.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe he'll hold on to it for you, man. And that would be a beautiful act right there, especially 'cause real baseball collector, real baseball fans know when someone's being genuine about that. And I know that you are being genuine. So hopefully he'll hold on to it for you and you'll come away with another great piece to your collection.
Absolutely, for sure. So, where can I mean, I know where we can find all of your stuff with Northwest
Yeah.
Florida, ESPN Northwest Florida, but why don't you let people know how they can find you and what you do and all that?
Yeah, so for Facebook, you can find me personally, David Hayes. Add me as a friend. I've got well below the number of 5,000 there, and I'm also on Twitter at DH11RT. I would not expect very much from me on Twitter, but at least at the very least, if you ever wanted to message me, you can message me on Facebook. But as far as the radio station goes, we are ESPN Northwest Florida. So you can go to Facebook, you can go to YouTube, or you can go to Twitter, type in ESPN Northwest Florida. For those of you who are here in Panama City, or if you're in Port St. Joe, for the radio show is on from 4 to 6 p.m. And it is on 104.3 here in Panama City and 101.9 in Port St. Joe. But we also have an app that you can take us with you wherever you go. You just go to your Google Play Store or your Apple Store, type in 104.3 ESPN Northwest Florida, and look forward to chatting with you guys. But make sure, first and foremost, for baseball fans, obviously, if you're listening this deep into the podcast, you already know that you gotta ride with Sam Peebles, because one day, guys, if you're listening to this, mark my words, he's going to be, I don't want to say he'll be the Jeff Passan of ESPN, but you're going to be doing something big within the baseball world. There's no doubt in my mind about it.
Hey man, I really appreciate the kind words, really truly, and I owe a lot of it to you. I knew that I loved doing this stuff, but 5 years ago now was when I went on your show for the first time, and you invited me back. So I knew that people wanted to hear what I had to say, and so that was a really big encouragement for me. And it's been one of the reasons, I owe a lot of it to you, if I'm being honest. So I really appreciate you giving me a chance, and I appreciate you having me on the show as much as you do.
Oh, absolutely, man. Wouldn't change anything for the world. And all glory goes to God on that, man. He knows what he's doing, and he just kind of puts us in the right spots, and we just help push each other along this path, this journey.
I love that. Thanks, man. Thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thank you guys. Man, for real, Sam, it really does mean a lot that you would have me on as a guest. And it's fun getting asked questions rather than asking the
I hear
questions
that. I
every now
hear
and again.
that. Yeah, definitely. Thanks. Thanks again so much to David Hayes over at ESPN Northwest Florida for joining the show again. It's always a blast to have him on, and I'm so excited I was able to work this out with him, and so thankful to him that he was able to come on so early on in the season so that we can make some predictions. That's always fun to do with him. Make sure you check out his show every single day, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. He told you where to find it, but you can just Google ESPN Northwest Florida Afternoon Underdogs and you'll be able to find it. With that's this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple, share the show wherever you find it, and let everyone know the Braves Dugout Podcast is part of the Braves Country Cooking Network, which is part of the Fans First Sports Network. You can email the show at Braves Dugout Podcast for any business inquiries. You can join the Facebook group or Facebook page. We have all of that, all the social medias. You can follow the show on Twitter at Braves Dugout Pod or my personal Twitter at S Peebles Sports. As always, go Braves.